Exactly.
All right, welcome to Greek Club. Today we are broadcasting from Celsius Tower here in frigid St. Louis, where the temperature this morning was -9 Celsius. See, that sounds worse than it actually is. Yeah, -19 Celsius with wind chill. I think it gets equal at 40. -40 Fahrenheit is the same as -40 Celsius. So this is for all of our listeners who are way farther north than we are. This is supposed to make you feel good. We are reading Hebrews 11, and we read verse 11 through verse 11 last time. By faith also Sarah, barren Sarah herself, received power unto the foundation of seed. And let's see, what do we actually do with this? And from a time of stature, I can't remember what we did with that. Will, didn't you have something smart to say about that last week?
Oh, maturity and time of
maturity. Oh, that's it. That's right. Time of maturity. Since she regarded the one who had promised as or to be faithful. And that's how far we got last week. So that brings us to verse 12, where we will pick up. We kind of end a paragraph about those who did various things by faith. And then there's actually a nice, if I can call it, an eschatological interlude. So, of course, that would make us all happy, especially after our fine sermon that we heard in chapel this morning from fourth-year seminarian Michael Ziegler. Verse 12, Diakai afhenas egenethezon kai tauta nenekromenu kathos ta astra tu uranu to plethe kai hos he amnas he para ta chelas tethalases he anarithmetas. Therefore, verse 12, also, from one they were born, or begotten, right? From genao, this is the verb. I believe it's the case that both men and women, mothers and fathers, can be the agent, or that they can genao something, whereas only a woman can tikto something. You know, that means actually to physically bear a child. But this is the verb in the Matthean genealogy. Matthew 1. Therefore, also from one they were born. Now let's describe the subject, which isn't expressed. And these ones of a having been deadified one, if I can translate it, nekromenu is from nekrao, which means to be dead. And here it's the perfect participle, passive, masculine, singular, genitive. So it's picking up the from one. It's describing the one. It's almost, well, it's repeating it. And these ones, so that would be nominative, probably in apposition to the implied subject of egenethezon, the they. And these of having been deaded one, if I could say it that way. And what was it like? Now we have a comparison. Kathos, and of course this is the language of Genesis. We see the side references there. Just as ta astra tu uranu, the stars of the sky, to plethe, this is plethos means a multitude or a crowd, and we'll probably just take this as a dative of respect, with respect to crowd, or maybe in size. Ta astra is of course, just the neuter plural of the noun star. The dictionary form is aster. It's a neuter noun, third declension. So as the stars of the sky with respect to multitude or host, and as, now you had to look up all this vocab, right, except for maybe thalasse. Amas means sand, and chelas is a lip, or it means the shore of the sea. And these as the sand, repeat the article, presumably if you read this next four words, the sand which is by the sea by the shore of the sea. Now it's further modifying it by putting another adjective on and repeating the article. It's a little unusual with all of these articles. The adjective arithmetos means few in number or easily numbered. Anarithmetos then means not easily numbered. See? So the sand which is by the seashore, which is not easily numbered, or I suppose we might translate it, innumerable, right? And the point is that by faith, Abraham and Sarah believed the promise of God, and so the consequence of that was from a dead person. The participle, by the way, ne nekro menu, has to refer to Abraham, even though Sarah has been most recently mentioned. It has to be Abraham just because it's masculine in gender, right? So the descendants of Abraham then are as the stars of the sky with regard to number, and as the sand, as the innumerable sand which is by the seashore, or something like that. And I have to recall, there's a tiny anecdote. We were camping in the Colorado Rockies probably about maybe 15 or 18 years ago, and our campsite was perched on this ridge, and it was a dark night, and of course there's no light around, and our oldest daughter, we were sitting around the campfire, and our oldest daughter sort of said from out of nowhere, "I wonder if this is what Abraham felt like," because she had been looking up into the sky and seen, you know, literally innumerable stars, and until you get away from civilization into that kind of darkness and blankness, you have no idea how many stars you can actually see. Now, Will, you did some traveling in remote parts of the world this last summer, didn't you? Yeah, from the southern hemisphere. Yeah, right, right. And you could see they were anarithmetos. Yeah, innumerable. Right. So that brings to the end this paragraph then about what Abraham and Sarah did. And again, it's interesting, these patriarchs and matriarchs, they do things, right? So this shows Luther's point, actually, the famous Luther quote that, oh, faith is living and active, you know, it can't wait to do good works and to obey God and so forth. And all these things were possible for them by faith, right? So faith is a very powerful dative of means, if I could say it that way. So, okay, verse 12. Any comments or questions or anything like that? Okay, well, we'll pick up then and start a new paragraph, verse 13. Katapiston ap ethanon hutoi pontes, me labantes tas epangelias, Allah, parothen autas idantes, kai aspasamenoi, kai homologesantes hati xenoi, kai par etidemoi azen, epites ges. According to faith, why does he shift from piste to kata piston? Well, probably just the subject matter. It wouldn't be appropriate to say they died by faith. You know, they didn't die by means of faith. But I wonder also if it's, remember, in an oral culture where not many people can read and most people are hearing, this is actually a very efficient way of signaling a new paragraph, along with probably tone of voice and diction and other things. So, in accordance with faith, these all died, ap ethanen. And now notice what the writer, forgive me, you know I'm going to say this, notice what the writer doesn't say, that when they died, they received the promise. No. See? Now, they died in faith, but they died and they may lamentus because they had not received the promises. But porothen, this is an adverb, it just means from a distance. Poro means far, and then you put then on the end of it. This is the formulation, by the way, probably the most familiar one is anothen in John 3, from above, or sometimes again. So unless one is born from above. So from a distance, they died because they did not receive, and rather because they saw autos them, the promises, from a distance, and they now aspasamenoi, this is from aspasamai, which means to greet, but it can also mean to say farewell, to greet as you part somebody. And I wonder if that's the sense of it here. And because they said farewell, and homologesantes, from our friend homologeo, and they confessed, and what did they confess? That strangers and pilgrims, or sojourners, they were upon the earth. Now, again, you have to be careful with this. The writer to the Hebrews is not, he's not doing a sort of a Platonic escape sort of narrative, but he's saying, look, they all died. Why? Because they had not received the promises, but rather they had seen from them from afar and had said farewell and confessed that they, in this context, you translate azin in the indirect discourse clause as were, they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. So they're looking for a better home. They died. They haven't received the promises yet when they died. They're still looking. And part of the point that the writer is going to make is they're not going to be perfected apart from us. See? Because we're all one church. We're all journeying toward the city that God has prepared. But the point is, nobody has gotten there yet. Right? As opposed to the way we often talk in the church, right? As if dying and going to heaven is getting there. It's not getting there. Not yet. Yeah.
We're looking at your Theological Observer at Palm 2.
Are you really?
In about 15 minutes.
Okay, well, yes. I should have written it in a more ironic tone. I'll freely homologeo it. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, one of the great things about taking Greek is that you know virtually all the vocabulary in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Okay, and the father laments that his daughter is in love with a xenos, see, which means a non-Greek person. But here it's a stranger. It's just an adjective that means strange, right? And so we get our word xenophobia, right? The fear of strangers or fear of, you know, those who are different than we are, right? Okay, so it hasn't happened yet, right? We're still living in the not yet. And the church is one church, right? Still a waiting church, although, as the hymn says, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, right? But we're waiting together. Okay, good. Questions? Yeah, Will, go ahead.
It's best to take that first participle, labontas, as a concessive participle.
Well, you know, I struggle with it. I think I translated it causally. They died because they had not received the promises. But they died although they had not received the promises. They died although they had... See, I'm not sure.
I'm not connecting it, I guess, to that. Maybe I should be connecting it to the...
I think apethon is the main verb from which all these participles hang, if I can say it that way. Right, right. Yeah, after they had not received, you know. But I guess I decided that if I had to make a sort of a non-weasel translational choice, that causal might work best, but... Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yes, you can actually. Yes. 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 You do not have to give. If you have a string of parties, like we have three of them here, right? No, four of them. They do not all have to have the same force. That is correct. There's an example of that lurking in the background of my mind, but I can't think of what it is now. So, yep. Absolutely. Okay. Very good. So that's verse 13, and. Now we'll say more, actually, about what they were confessing. That's kind of the substance of verse 14. And we'll take that, and then we'll do the conditional. Well, I guess we'll do 14 and 15 together just to get a few lines in. So 14, hoigar toi auta legantes em phanidzuzen hati patrida epidzetuzen. Kai e men ekenes ne manuan af heis ex ebezan. Ekan an, up, there's your key, kairon anakampsai. Verse 14, for the ones who say such things, and now that refers to those who confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, right? This is just from from toi utas. For those who say things like this, emphanizuzin, are making clear that they are seeking a patris, a homeland, right? So that's easy enough. Just kind of a simple, straightforward clause. The participle at the front is governed by the article, and gar is postpositive. So those who say such things are making clear, they're emphanizuing, that they are seeking. It's possible that epizeteo means sort of really seeking. Sometimes the prefixed epi can intensify the meaning, although I'm not sure I'd want to insist on that. And a patris is a homeland, right? So as I like to adapt the hymn, I'm but a stranger here, the new heavens and the new earth are my home, right? So. And now we have a contrary to fact conditional sentence, right? And if, on the one hand, they were remembering, and now mnemoneuo takes, at least I'm pretty sure it does, a genitive direct object. They were remembering that land, and ekenes is feminine, right? So we'll take the antecedent or the conceptual antecedent at least to be geis in the end of verse 13. For if they were remembering that land from which they journeyed out, ex ebeson is from ek bino, right? They would not have time to, and now, you know, I can't remember what anakampsai means. Help me out here, anybody. It's an aorist infinitive active, but what does anakampto mean? Got an English translation closing it? Reed, can you remember? I'm blanking out here in the midst of Greek club. They would not have had a time or an opportunity to...
It looks like meal.
I know.
Right? Or lay down or recline or something?
Well... Sad to say, I can't remember what this means, although I did look it up this morning. So,
to return,
they would not have had a time.
They would have had time.
Right? Oh, yeah, they would have had a time to return. I think that's what it must mean. Okay, all in favor of return, say aye. Okay, this is called lexicography by majority vote. Oh, well, welcome to the world of the fallible. Yep, I looked it up, but it didn't do me any good. So, but a contrary to fact conditional sentence, right? So we have the imperfect, a plus the imperfect, and on plus the imperfect. So a, mnemon, nuon, and echon on, right? Exactly. Yeah, that's right. That's got to be it. So good to have PhD students here in the crowd, right? So. Okay, we've got an English translation. To turn back. Okay. In other words, they were moving forward, and you couldn't get back to the home because they hadn't been there yet, right? So they would not have had time, or they would have had time or an opportunity maybe to return. And then verse 16, maybe we'll get that, and then we'll be satisfied that far. Nunde kretanas o regantai, tutestin ep uraniu. Dia uk epaiskunitai autus ha theos, theos epikalestai auton, he toimasengar autois pollen. But now, and aregomai means to aspire to. This is actually the verse in 1 Timothy 3, if anyone aspires to the oversight. It's actually that verb. And it takes a genitive object. So, but now they aspire to something greater. Again, kraton is the comparative of agathos, right? That is a heavenly city, a heavenly land. But don't think up there. Think one that comes from heaven, one that is ruled by heaven. Therefore, subject, the first God with the article, God is not ashamed of what? Them, autus is the subject of epikalesthai, them to call God of them. And it's normally translated, God is not ashamed for them to call him their God, right? Or actually, I suppose, epikalesthai, if it's a... I think it's epikaleomai. I think the verb is deponent, but it...
To be called
their God. I think, yeah, we won't take it as middle. We'll take it as passive. Because it's... Well, if it's middle deponent, then it can, this form can still be either middle or passive, right? Because it's present infinitive. So, I think we'll take it as... I think you're right. Well, I think we'll take it as passive. Let's see. God is not ashamed of them. God is not ashamed them. I'm trying to figure out what the autus does. I want to make it the... subject of epikalesthai.
Right.
Right? So them to be called? See what I'm saying? Yeah. See what I'm saying? So I'm thinking that literally it's God is not ashamed them to invoke, and then we'll take this maybe almost as direct discourse. No? Them to call God theirs. Except theos is nominative.
Right. So you expect a linking verb.
Exactly. God is not ashamed them to be called, quote, their God. Them to call God theirs. That's awkward.
Because then you would expect that us to be in the accusative.
Accusative, exactly right. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yep. God.
Right. Well, at this point, I'm very glad that this is anti-legomena, and we can and we'll figure this out next week. But we will finish the verse, which is easy. For hetoimazo, he prepared for them a pollen, a city. But we will come back to this. This is puzzling. I have to confess a slight lack of preparation, but I suppose there are worse sins than that. So. All right, very good. Thank you very much, Greek Club at Concordia Seminary.
Thank you.
Go preachers.
That's right.
That's right. 7 o'clock tonight, right?
That's right.
And who are we playing?
Playing pharmacy.
Oh, pharmacy.
Specialized people against specialized people.
Exactly.